It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Thank you, Brother Dre. Thank you, Lariettes. And welcome, everybody. Welcome to the only steeple structure in the known universe, with a neon cocktail sign on the outside and a full bar on the inside. Oh, yes. This is the longest-running Saturday night after-party, Sinner's Sunday. So come on in. Grab a beer. Grab some ribs. Grab a barca lounger. That's right. No ass-punishing benches in this place. We believe you get enough punishment out there all week long. Here, you can kick back, relax, and hang with the gang. This thing is really starting to take off. Listeners are coming back at us with all kinds of stuff. In last week's show, we answered the question, did Jesus curse? And in doing so, I wondered if, in ancient places, was there profane graffiti of the sort we might see on any gas station wall today? And sure as hell, Andrew Hahn sent me a story about archaeologists finding exactly that in Pompeii. Here's a couple of the more mild quotations. Celadus the Thracier makes the girls moan. And
happiness and prosperity to the people of Pazuli, the meat hook for the Pompeians.
It's great stuff. Some of it is raunchy as hell. I'll post the links Andrew sent on the show page. Thanks, Andrew. And while I'm at it, a quick shout-out to Uncle Buck of the Here's What I Don't Get podcast for his biblical input. And thank you, Tim Johnson, for your very forthright confession. As you may or may not know, I am ordained in several faiths, and I grant you full absolution. Go and sin no more, my son. So what's at the core of most of these I-never-use-bad-language people? It's simply another form of virtue signaling, isn't it? They're telling us and the world that they are superior, they have the moral high ground, and that we are somehow lesser beings. After last week's episode, Curse Along with Christ, if you missed it, it's still waiting for you at thatlarryshow.com, as are over 70 previous episodes for your listening pleasure. After last week's gathering, I was reminded of a goofy little gag from my childhood. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't curse. God damn it, I left my cigarettes at the bar. Which raises another question. One I'm pretty certain you never heard at Sunday school or anywhere, and that is, was Jesus a party animal? Which harkens back to number 65, the very first episode of Sinner's Sunday. And that is how, over time, the biographers of JC and the myriad God providers making megabucks peddling him have unquestionably been shaping and distorting and repainting him into someone that best suits their insidious purposes. As we have already established, they made him into a whispering, sad, weak, sunken-chested, humorless drip, which is antithetical to everything he must have actually been. Because the original 12 mugs he chose to carouse with would not have been soft-spoken or meek or docile. They were mostly fishermen. They were rough dudes. They would not have followed some hollow-eyed, passive zombie. People tend to hang with those most like themselves, don't they? Birds of a feather is absolutely true. You can bet your ass JC was a card, a live wire, a charm bomb, a rascal, a 360 kind of guy, the kind of cowboy everybody wanted to party with. And so, these preachers and religious leaders and biblical scholars are just so full of shit. You don't have to put on your miner's helmet and dig very deep to realize that JC was kind of a wise ass. How do I know? Because, like Tony Spumante and the wise guys I knew, who were often wise asses as well, they were fantastic at giving everybody a nickname. And when someone is tagged with a nickname, it usually has one of two purposes, either to mock or to bond. Sometimes there's some crossover there. When people reach a deeper level of friendship and fondness, we'll let them call us things that we would not permit a stranger to, right? Apparently, JC was as big on nicknames as the guys from the Five Families back in New York. He gave nicknames to his buddies. Simon became Peter the Rock. Levi was rechristened Matthew, or Gift. James and John he dubbed Sons of Thunder. A second Simon who joined the crew was renamed the Zealot. Now, are those nicknames ironic, sarcastic, and funny? It sure looks that way. So what's with the Basset Hound in agony look we see on every depiction of Jesus? You don't need an atomic imagination to hear him joking around with his posse. Hey, Rock, grab the Gift and the Thunder Sons, and let's slide over to the junior market and score some 40s. Hey, Zealot Man, you hold down the fort until we get back. So, just as many phonies and hypocrites virtue signal through their allergic reactions to profanity, many also use their abstinence from adult beverages to set themselves a few rungs above the rest of us on the ladder to spiritual perfection. These folks are not to be confused with those who simply choose not to drink. Nothing wrong with that. To be clear, it ain't good for you. But sometimes, it's not all bad either. When my dad was dying, the only way I could unwind and get myself to sleep was with nightly 100-proof sedatives. A slight headache in the morning was far preferable to the fatigue of a sleepless night. And once my dad departed spaceship Earth, my usual nighttime beverage went back to Irish tea. And they are also not to be confused with those who realize that booze is just not for them. Some people should never drink at all. And those who come to that realization and have the strength to refrain deserve a lot of applause. But the blue noses who trumpet their abstention and then look down those noses at those who imbibe as sinners, well, who the fuck are they? And incredulously, those clowns are often quite religious. But both testaments are awash in wine. Maybe the most famous is the wedding at Cana, where the caterer fucked up and before they could serve the prime rib and coq au vin, they ran out of wine. That would be a tragic faux pas now. In those days, it was catastrophic. While weddings today run for a few hours at the local catering joint, back then, in the Middle East, they were fiestas that ran for several days. It was at that wedding that JC decided to give the world a little taste of his capabilities, sort of announce his presence. But amazingly, it was not his choice. He was manipulated into doing it by a woman, of course. His own mother. Now, nobody's sure how long the wedding was in progress when the wine ran out, and he was there with his mom and his road crew. Bet there was no shortage of pointy chicks in the Middle East. He was probably dancing up a storm and getting boku attention from the ladies. Was he drinking wine? Why the hell wouldn't he? So where do all these uptight religiosos get off casting aspersions on those who enjoy a little musica, some grape, and a spin with the ladies? Odds are his mom had already seen him do some things that would definitely fool Penn and Teller. Wonder what those things were. Did he retile mom's kitchen while he and everyone slept? Maybe equip it with shiny new Viking appliances that just appeared without receipts or shipping crates. Maybe he replicated some of his old man's cabinets so he'd have an extra good year. Maybe he materialized a few extra shekels when the tax man came around. Who knows? But clearly, he'd been flexing his magic muscles for some time. So his mom is having a good time, and the wine runs out, and she, too, does not want to see a good party end early. And she goes over to Sonny Boy. Maybe at that moment, he's deeply engrossed in conversation with some coal-eyed vixen. And Mom, being Mom, she butts right in and says, "They're all out of wine." And he slowly turns his gaze from pointy vixen, stone stares Mom, and says, "Don't look at me, I've only had three glasses." No, that's not what he said. But what he did say is even funnier and more of a wise-ass reply. He says, "Woman, what has that to do with me?" She probably told him to save his shtick for his pals. And maybe he says, "Seriously, Ma, I only have a few shekels on me, and besides, the stores are all closed." But then she brings out the heavy artillery. She gives him the look that says, "I wiped your nose and your ass, you ungrateful lug. Now get your ass back in that kitchen and do what you need to do." Now maybe at this point, the Rock or the Thunder Brothers or the Zealot are within earshot, and they're snickering, and she's making JC look like a chump, and he must assert his manhood, and he says, "Mom, it's not my time." Now remember, he's the son of God. He knows all and can do all, but still, his powers are limited because he cannot outmaneuver a woman. She narrows her eyes at him with that look that anywhere on the planet says one thing: "I'm gonna fix your ass." She grabs the head waiter by the sleeve and says,
"Have you met my son? His name is Jesus, and he has special powers. Do what he says and you'll be drowning in wine."
Now what could he do? With a few words, she put him between a rock and a hard place, forcing him to capitulate or embarrass his mother or himself. JC looks at the head waiter and says, "Okay. Take me to your biggest water jugs and keep quiet about this." A few minutes later, goblets are overflowing with luscious vintages. Uncle Maury whispers to his friend, "Up until now, I thought they were serving cat piss, but this, waiter, more wine." And so here we are, all once again, just hanging together, trying to make sense of things, and one small mystery has been solved. Maybe a mystery you never pondered, but if you do, or somebody brings this up in a barroom debate, you'll be ready. Though we've established Jesus most likely did drink, the question remains, how much? Nobody was around the morning after, but I would bet if it was Sunday morning, and he was trudging down the road with Rock and Gift and the Thunder Brothers, and somebody said,
"Hey, look at that joint up ahead. There's a steeple and a cocktail sign, and they're cooking ribs."
I bet you JC and his posse would have been in here in a hot minute. And we'd be drinking the best wine we'd ever tasted, and having a hell of a good time. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again, everyone. It's always great to be with you. Do us a favor. If you like what you hear, tell all your friends. In fact, don't just tell them. Text them a link so they can hear for themselves. I'd really appreciate that. And if you really like what you hear, go to the show's homepage, thatlarryshow.com, and click the Patreon button and help us keep this moving forward. Come back next week for Sinner's Sunday, when I'll reveal the most important nickname of all, the one JC has that nobody really knows about. You don't want to miss it. I'll see you this Tuesday for the regular edition of That Larry Show. And until that time, be kind.